Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're invited. Join Bloomies in the Mosaic District for an art stroll on Saturday, June 18th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and shop one-of-a-kind art by local artists. Pop by with your family and friends to also enjoy Bites by Colada Shop. And watch Chalk Riot in action as they paint the sidewalk murals in front of our store. Plus, get store-wide savings during our Buy More, Save More event. See you there.
What are you plugging in there?
I'm plugging in my 12-volt car battery to wake my vagina up.
Yvette and Glenn.
Expecting that to start the show.
It has been asleep for a while.
It has. Podcast 65, everybody.
Yay!
How are we all?
Oh, it's so good to be here after the week we've had.
Oh, and what a week it was.
What a week it was. It's been. You all right, Mother? You can speak. Say hello.
You're live on air.
Hello.
We're back in Droylsden.
We are back in Droylsden. We can't keep away, can we?
I know.
I'm surprised we're allowed back in it, because I'm pretty sure they're going to start roadblocks.
Well, it's like Hotel California, isn't it? You can check out, but you can never leave.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. How are you, Glenn?
I'm very well, thank you. Would you like to declare officially the podcast open?
Oh, go on then, please. Okay. We can't open it until you bring out your cheesy balls and give me a good fingering.
Well, I would love to do that. And you might want to be in here for this.
Mum, stop cleaning up, please. Come on.
Come in here, quickly.
She can't help herself, can she? She's actually sat on a tablecloth.
She rolled it up.
Saves her
eye.
Saves her eye.
Sit you down, lass. And feast your eyes on these.
Oh!
Unexpected item in the bagging area.
Oh, my God. Dairy Milk white fingers. Go on, Mother. Cadbury's, you can do the honours.
White chocolate
them
fingers.
Up.
And I don't have any cheesy balls this week. Oh. I've cleaned them. I do. But I do have something that once you pop, you cannot stop.
I love them.
Pringles, everybody.
Yay! Yes.
Can I just say about
that's
the
a big cheer.
Yeah, but can I just say about the Pringles lie?
I'm opening. You ready? Hang on.
Oh yes, there it is.
But can I just say about the Pringles lie?
Go on. Why?
Right. What's their slogan?
Once you pop, you can't stop.
So why do they give you a resealable lid?
If they truly
stood by their slogan, they'd say you don't need a resealable lid because once you pop,
you can't stop.
Someone doesn't believe in their own PR exercise.
You're right. You've clocked something there.
Anybody
like
going to have one?
Well, I'll have the first one.
You're going to have one. You know you want to.
How much
can you put in your mouth, Mary?
I could probably put an awful lot.
The whole tube?
Yeah. Agnes, come on, move your teeth and have one of them.
She can put a whole section of Dungeons and Dragons in her mouth.
Thank you. Oh. It's under 16 inches, I can probably manage it.
Did you just say that? 16 inches? Good God, girl.
Did you just say you go, girl, then?
Sorry?
Never mind.
No.
How was your day?
How was your day?
Oh, my My goodness me. Well, first of all, let's just say, we, like you said, we are in Droylsden. We're all sat around my mother's dining room table, complete with beautiful embroidered tablecloth.
Looks like it came from an Indian restaurant, doesn't it?
It does. Angela and Agnes are sat at one end, enjoying the... Well, you've enjoying a finger, mother.
Oh, yeah.
And you're enjoying a nice...
Pringle.
A nice Pringle. Mm-hmm. Mary's with us yet again for another episode. A beautiful, gorgeous co-host of mine is the lovely Glenneth.
Hello there.
And my beautiful husband to my right is Carlos.
You actually forgot my name then. There is
so many names to remember there, wasn't there?
There is... There was a space. There was a hesitation.
I tell you, there was, because I was thinking, oh gosh, have I actually introduced myself? That's what was going through my head as I was saying.
So you're thinking of yourself before me.
That's an ingredient for a good marriage.
That, and opposite me is my fantastically, supremely talented co-host, Yvette Fondling.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Or you can call me Betty.
Betty.
Yeah.
Betty.
Ooh, Betty. Ooh,
Betty.
That's what my mum calls me.
Oh, that's interesting. Has the cat done a whoopsie
in the kitchen?
In the kitchen.
Oh, I see. Mary's going blank again. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Wait, is it something to do with Betty Boop?
No.
What was the name of his daughter?
Jessica.
Yeah. Really bad impression. It was a really good programme. It was in the 70s called Some Mothers Do Have 'Em. And it was a very, very funny about this couple. And he used to wear a sort of mac, didn't he?
Yeah,
and a beret.
He did all his own stunts as well.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. Very,
everything
very
would
funny.
Go wrong for him.
Yeah, a married couple and little baby and Frank. You know,
Michael Crawford and Michelle Dutrice.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
really good show. Nice. Anyway, you should look it up on YouTube. It's very funny.
You'll quite like it, actually.
Definitely do that.
You know she's not going to.
Especially the bit where he's hanging off the back bumper of a Morris Minor over a cliff edge.
Oh, and he was, so he did good.
That. And the roller skates on the bus and everything.
Yeah,
oh, brilliant.
Really good. Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore.
No.
They don't, do they, Agnes?
No, definitely not.
No. You enjoying that?
Not going to word out of her for the rest of the night now. She's sucking on a Pringle.
Sucking it because of your teeth. Aye, I know. So anyway.
Yes.
Shall we go to...
How was your day? Well, it's funny that you brought up Frank Spencer there, actually, because I was watching on YouTube a series of programmes which I used to watch in the 80s with... Now, what was his name, the actor? Simon Callow.
Oh, yeah.
It was a comedy show called Chance in a Million. And we were talking about then how Frank Spencer, things went wrong for him. Tom Chance was the character in this sitcom, and his everything, any chance of anything going wrong, potentially, is what the whole focus of the sitcom was about. Even where he ended up meeting his girlfriend, who played by Brenda Blethyn, as well, that the chance of meeting her was an accident as well. He was meant to be meeting someone else, she was meant to be meeting someone else. And it's a whole set of coincidences that all go wrong all throughout the series. And Chance in a Million, if you get the chance, plays out brilliantly. So there you go.
All right, Chance in a Million. Yeah, I'll give that a go.
Isn't it strange how a lot of those old sort of older sitcoms, the 70s, 80s, and probably not as many in the 90s, but certainly 70s and 80s, would, you know, now you can watch... And they still work.
Yes.
And the 60s as well. I mean, one of my favourites, no secret, is Randall and Hopkirk. I love Randall and Hopkirk. I loved it when I was a kid. I love the reruns. And you know, I've just managed to record all the ones that have been on the telly recently, the whole series. And I can just watch them over and over again. Because they still work. It's fun.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna scream.
Right.
You don't... What the... are you doing in there? What are you doing? Mother!
It's like fucking the dog, isn't it? Not fucking the dog. It's like the fucking dog.
Mother!
It'll be chewing something. You say,
Chris,
what
are
you
like
doing?
Chris, it's like talking to the
it'll
dead.
Stop. It'll just stop. And
Mother!
She just stopped.
Answer me. God, in there, all I can hear is pots clattering and you washing up. There's a bloody radio show here.
It's just a knicker. She's just walking.
Knickers.
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 Knockers.
Yeah. Anyway, you're going to stay now,
sitting?
Yes, I'm not going to move, are you, with your
tea towel? I'll buy you some white chocolate fingers and you fuck off to the kitchen.
Yes. My goodness.
No wonder she's on her fucking own.
I tell you, talking about TV shows, I tell you, another fabulous one is Rising Damp.
Oh, Miss Jones.
Oh, Linda Rossiter. Yeah.
And the best episode is when they think there's a ghost in the house.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. That is a very funny. Anyway, this isn't about how was your day.
Well, that was
it?
My day watching some old episodes on YouTube of Chance in a Million. I recommend anybody look it up.
Okay, good. How was your day?
It was all right. I went shopping.
Oh, no? Did you? What did you buy?
I got
did you? What did I buy you?
I got a suitcase and some thread. All for the trip.
So find your way back home again.
Yeah. Yes. And I actually have to say something now.
Oh, God.
Ladies, I don't know if you've already said it, Ma, you might have done. But ladies, when you go out in public, please don't wear thin leggings.
Oh, my God.
Because I swear to God, the amount of arses I saw today through thin fabric was ridiculous. It made me want to be sick because I can only imagine the amount of chafing, the sweating that's going on, and you can see it all. Oh. That's me done.
And that's just Glenn in the morning.
Yeah. What could you see particularly? Labels?
Glenn will get excited, so don't describe it in too much detail.
The bloke who listen might be interested to know.
Yeah.
Just arse cheeks.
It was just awful.
And maybe a couple of labels, maybe a thong or two. Oh.
It's funny you should say that. That Mary, because I was going to call you Glenn then. It's funny you should say that. Because in my day to day, I saw. I saw a cyclist, and I've seen this a few times. In fact, we filmed one in Manchester. Bending over, going for it, pumping away, and all you saw was his bare ass, naked ass cheeks through incredibly thin lycra.
Oh dear.
What the hell? And I wanted to lean over and slap his ass as
To be
went
fair,
past.
With cyclists, I want to lean over and do that when they're just dressed normally. I mean, why would a cyclist care about what they're wearing when they don't give a shit about the rules of the road or any other road user but themselves?
Yeah. I don't mind normal cyclists, your everyday cyclists. It's the ones, the competitive ones that wear the go faster helmets that have an actual, they go to a point at the back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just think, no, don't do that. Yeah, stop
it. But it's the ones that are on country lanes. You're driving along.
We need Rick
a country
here.
Lane. But they insist on going two abreast, which in my day was illegal. If a copper saw you two abreast, he'd actually stop you and say, right, get in single file.
Single file.
Which forces the cars to either slow down or overtake on dangerous corners because on these tiny little roads that they use, and they're all fair weather idiots anyway, because they won't do it in the winter, they only do it in the summer when some cycling's on the telly. Oh yeah, I'm 56 stone, but I'm going to wear some fucking lycra and a stupid hat, and I'm going to look like I'm fucking Lance Armstrong. And yeah, and all they do is they drive along, and literally if you go past any of them and you're within 10 foot, all you hear is wanker. Fuck off. Just to let all of you know, all those cyclists who do that, you're wankers. All the ones who are just normal cyclists and just do what we all do when we're on a bike, and I ride a bike every now and then, is you just do it normally. You
look out for one another. You don't own the road. Vehicles pass you.
You pay no insurance, no road tax, and no fucking MOT on your bike. So just fuck it. And then they'll get upset when they get knocked off by a lorry because they're overtaken on the inside. Fucking grow up.
Well, there we go. We've had a rant.
We needed Rick.
Rick was here.
Do you know what? I wonder if I'd been possessed by Rick.
Oh, you might have been.
You might well have been. So that was my day. I just wanted to slap a cyclist's ass.
Well,
there we are then. How was your day, Mr. Beattie?
Well, as you know, we had a little bit of a problem because last week, as a lot of people have commented on social media, is my new car, my old car, my 1957 MGA. Mm-hmm. We had a little issue trying to start it, didn't we?
Mm.
Well, didn't I?
The C word was shouted a few times.
Yeah, Claire, who's the person I bought it off of. No,
spanners were thrown. Mm. Lots of expletives, and I just left him to it.
A bit like this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say, that was her just before she left me to it.
Right, yeah. Okay.
No, the trouble was, it was, she wouldn't start. And so, unfortunately, I still love her. Still love her very much, but she just wouldn't start. So there you go.
Seven days in, and she's still a keeper.
Oh, she's still a keeper. She'll be with me for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, right.
She'll be with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah, right.
I've got to say, it was touch and go today earlier when she wouldn't start, yep. But I got her started in the end, and it was only an HT lens.
No, I don't care either.
Wow, if you're mini, you would.
Yeah, that's true. No, I just rely on you. That's the difference. You're my mechanic. How was your day?
I think I mentioned my day.
You have. Sorry.
We're that bored.
I know. She's bored of you. I go round the table and I lose track of...
Watch TV.
Oh, that's right. So, yeah. No, it's because there wasn't a particular story with it. It was about you watching a television programme.
Yeah, it was great. It was for nostalgia reasons.
Yeah, all right. We've done that already. Get off. Agnes, how was your day?
Oh, well, I lost an arm today.
I'm sorry.
Lost an arm.
You lost an arm?
An arm, yeah.
You've got both of them right there. What's going on? What are you talking about?
It was my spectacles. Oh. I only got them in January.
Oh, dear. Anyway, moving on. How was your day, Mother?
I didn't do anything today except binge-watched.
Binge-watch what?
Binge-watched. I watched 90 Day Fiancé. Absolutely.
What's that shit?
Absolutely fabulous it was. Really enjoyed it. I've no idea. But it was just so good. Yeah. Discovery Plus.
Oh, is it?
90 Day Fiancé. Absolutely wonderful.
It's where people get
They've got 90 days to get married. They've come from other countries and
they've never met each other, but they get engaged and then they've got 90 days to change.
To try and get a green card.
Yeah.
That's called online dating, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. Wow.
It was really good. No, don't start, you two chatting away. Has everybody done their days?
Yes,
that's right. That's it.
I think we can get Will out of the cupboard now.
Yay! Correspondent Corner. Another message from another caller.
Correspondent Corner. Leave a message and we might get back to you. Good job, Will. Would you like to read the first email?
My God, that looks a big one.
I'm sure you can give it a good go. Get your mouth around that.
Ooh, same.
I need say nothing more.
Right, this is from Becky Price.
Hello, Becky Price.
Hello. Hi,
guys. The Price is Right.
Hope all is well and you've had a fantastic week. I have to say, I'm loving the weekly podcast. So after listening to your previous toilet talk, I thought I should tell you my story. It all began last Thursday, the day before... Can we have a bit of music underneath this, please? Yes. Thank you, Glenneth. Put it in now. It all began last Thursday, the day before my birthday. My friend said she was taking me to lunch to celebrate.
That music is shit. Can we have something else?
I can't anymore for copyright reasons.
Oh, okay. Come on.
My friend said she was taking me to lunch to celebrate, and after a fab lunch and lots of giggles, we left. Driving along, my stomach dropped, and I thought, we could be in trouble here. So I told her I would have to use her loo before I left. Let's just say, after a very loose drop-off and 10 tons of room spray, I left her house. On the way home, I remembered I had to water my friend's plants as they were away. I unlocked the gate and skipped around the garden merrily until... it happened again. Only this time the urgency was very real. With no key to the house, I started to panic. I ran out of the gate, knowing I wouldn't make it home, and with blind panic setting in, I unlocked the car in search of something, anything. All I could find at this point is a carrier bag. I grabbed it, and by this point, with clenched butt cheeks, went back to the garden. Where did I do the deed? Looking round the garden, I spotted a gap between two sheds. So I went for it, and by God, the explosion was like nothing I'd ever experienced. It was like Vesuvius erupting all over again. With no loo roll, I had to drag my knickers and trousers up and mince my way to the car. After depositing my shit into five other bags, and eventually in the bin, I did what I had to do to clean up, when suddenly my fiance pipes up and says, I bet they have cameras. Cameras? Really? I casually rang my friend and asked how they were getting on and dropped in the question, so do you have any cameras in your garden? She replied, you two haven't been shagging in my garden, have you? No, I said, and realised that would have sounded better than the real reason. Her next question, you didn't shit in my garden, did you? Why? Her mind went straight to shit. I just don't know. Technically, I shit in a carrier bag, but yes, in the garden. After what seemed like 10 minutes of her and her husband pissing themselves laughing, yes, I was on loudspeaker. She then says, why didn't you go into the house? To which I replied, because I didn't have a key. This next sentence actually made me cry laughing. You bloody did. The key to the gate is the key to the house. She has since made me reenact the scene several times for her own amusement. Big love to you all. Becky Price. Thank you, Becky!
I like Becky and her oversharing.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it?
Great.
What would we do without the plastic bag? I know they're horrendous things.
We complained about them last podcast.
We did complain about them, and they should all be banned. But it wouldn't be the same with a paper bag, would it?
Yeah, but then again, a tough paper bag, the whole thing's biodegradable, so you could just chuck it anywhere.
That's very true. And the Morrisons is a biodegradable bag, so if you ever cut short, always make sure you have a Morrisons paper bag so you can shit in that. Round of applause for Morrisons paper bag. Yeah. Yay! Shall I read the next one?
By all means.
Hey, it's Sarah from Sunny Teesside. Don't take the piss, man. Someone's got to live here. Just
hey,
watching.
Well, my dad's from Teesside.
Oh, so, yeah, but we love your dad. Just watching
well,
the
old,
well, we still love him.
I know, we still love him, don't
so,
we?
No, just sat watching the old episodes and Rick is on. All I keep thinking about is Rick beating his meat before his mum gets home. Ha ha! I literally feel like the female version of Rick. I'm howling at his rants, knowing fine well that something I'd say. Keep up the good work, Rick. Love listening to you all. Lots of love, Sarah Calvert. There you go.
How are the lads?
How are you, man?
Got an email here from, oh my goodness me, this is an epic
go,
one.
Go, Glenn.
This is 3 pages long from Amy Barnett. Here we go, are you ready?
Yes, we're Roger.
Dear everybody.
Roger.
I might paraphrase in parts. I hope you're all keeping well. I'm so glad you've decided to do weekly podcasts. I live with them every week and often have a spring in my step as I leave work on a Thursday knowing that I've got an evening of full throttle belly laughs and pity pants to look forward to. I can't believe you read out another email about my damaged vagina. You know, the one that's been annihilated by the demon Nair cream.
Oh,
and then
God.
The plastic splinters from a children's inflatable boat.
Yes.
So thought
it,
I would
is
try...
It wrong? Is it wrong that I want to see her vagina?
Yes.
Is it wrong?
Yes. Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
That's really weird. She look says, at Agnes's face. She looked like she's sucking on a lemon.
She says, I thought I would try my luck with the third and final instalment, for now, of The Adventures of Amy's Axe Wound. This one involves my poor little flower being scalded by a pair of hair straighteners. Although the wound actually covered more of my arse this time.
What the hell were you doing with hair straighteners?
She's got hairy arse.
Oh. She okay. sat on them.
I think
she
you
was,
might be onto
she was
something.
Using them for anal.
No, Carl.
Perhaps I could rename the trilogy The Adventures of Amy's Arsehole and Axe Wound.
Oh,
it's
God.
Got a nice ring to it, don't you think? I see what she did there when she said ring. It was a sunny April morning, April 4th to be exact. For my birthday the previous day, my parents have very kindly gifted me a brand new pair of high-end hair straighteners, the kind that have ceramic plates that heat from 0 to 200 Celsius that's the core of the fucking earth in just 30 seconds. That night, I set my alarm a few minutes earlier so that I could get up before work and test them out. Sure enough, at 6:45 a.m., my alarm goes off. I stagger out of bed and unbox the beauties, plug them in and place them on the corner of my bed, quickly throw on some underwear, changing out my PJs, I didn't sleep naked, and then head downstairs to put the kettle on. Now, for the past 15 years, my dad had been telling me never to leave the straighteners on the bed or the rug or any soft furnishings. And you'd think that common sense as an almost 30-year-old would prevail, but apparently not. I came back upstairs and without thinking, plonked myself down on the corner of the bed.
Oh.
The pain wasn't immediate. It actually took a few seconds of my flesh sizzling to realise what the fuck was happening. I leapt off the bed, ripping the red-hot instruments from my skin, screaming at the top of my lungs. The smell of burning flesh and singed pubic hair filled the room and tears immediately streamed down my face. I jumped around the room for a few minutes, struggling not to bite through my bottom lip or pass out from the pain, and found myself on all fours on the floor with my arse up in the air. I composed myself somewhat and tried to think logically about how to soothe these hard-to-reach burns. I ran myself a cold bath and got in. The relief was amazing. There I sat for about 20 minutes, blissfully unaware of the liquid-filled blisters that were growing beneath the water's surface.
Oh my God.
As I got out, I caught a glimpse in the mirror of the huge blisters and open wounds that were now appearing on various parts of my nether regions. One rectangular burn from my arse cheek up to my lower back and another between my legs and the tip just touching my right lip. I know this whole scenario may be hard to visualise, so I have included a hand-drawn diagram to avoid any confusion.
Let's see.
I didn't print that off.
Okay.
I had no choice but to try and get dressed, as I was really late for work. As I pulled on the underwear, the scratchy hem scraped against the blister and my eyes once again filled with tears.
Oh.
I persevered and attempted to pull on some jeans.
Brave
and stupid at the same time. But I couldn't bear it. I couldn't get dressed. I was sweating like a blind lesbian at a fish market. I was late. I was late for work. My new straighteners were snapped in two and I had leaking blisters the size of the fucking world on my arse and flaps. What did she do next, I hear you ask?
What did she do next?
Well, the answer is something that I don't recommend anyone else do if they find themselves in this unfortunate situation. I rang my boss, cried and screamed down the phone, and like any good boss would, she came round to my house, sprayed my arsehole with burn spray and took me to the hospital in nothing but a dressing gown, where my second degree arse burn was treated and dressed by a lovely man called Dr. Perish. Had I gone in with a life-threatening injury, I'm not sure I'd appreciated his name so much. Strangely, my boss handed in her notice 2 weeks later, though she assured me it wasn't anything to do with my fried vagina. As I'm still single, who knows why, I would like to point out for the purpose of any potential future love interest that my fanny is now fully restored to its previous state, and although it's now a little hairier than it used to be because I'm too terrified to nair myself, it's still back in full working order. Lots of love from Amy Barnett with the perfectly normal vagina in Buckinghamshire. P.S. Have you ever played the game Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
Nicknamed the party game for horrible people. Yes, we have. P.P.S. What do you call a rooster standing in front of some lettuce?
No idea.
Chicken Caesar salad.
There you go.
So when that girl actually gives birth, it's going to seem easy for her. The pain is just going to be like, that wasn't bad.
This next email comes from Rob and Colette. Hello to all the team and four-legged mascots.
Hello, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, Colette.
Having travelled from the Midlands to the Lake District, they could have been there with you guys last week.
Yes.
For our friend's nuptials, we listened to the podcast all the way. Thanks to the roadworks, it was a hell of a long journey. Anyway, we were staying in an 18th century inn, which Colette, my partner, thought must be haunted. I pass this off as I just didn't get that sort of vibe from it until the last morning. With Reg still fresh in my mind and my missus going on about ghosts, who should appear? It was only Spermy. He also brought a little wrench with him. I'm not sure if Reg was in Lake Ullswater on Thursday, but seeing Spermy come on my plate gave me a fright, I can tell you. I've attached the pictures of proof he was joining us for breakfast. All the very best. Can't wait to see Carla Stewart in October at Shrewsbury Prison. And there is a picture
on the plate?
Of a fried breakfast. And there's beans, mushrooms, and there is a poached egg in the shape of a sperm.
It does look like some big
gigantic one.
It does. Spermy's there.
Actually, it looks like an uninflated balloon.
It does.
There you go.
Brilliant picture. Thank you for sharing with us. More, please.
And now it's time to see if our mothers can get their mouth round another word.
Oh, excellent.
It's Agnes and Angela's word definitions in Mums and Words.
Mary.
Okay. Right, this word is from Gemma Smith in Staffordshire. She says, "Hi all, hope you're well and enjoying the white chocolate fingers I passed on to Yvette for you all to share."
That's right.
What's this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot.
I didn't make it. Sorry, then. I didn't make it. White chocolate fingers, Yvette, don't go far.
No.
I'm so sorry.
You've scoffed.
Shh, don't tell my mother. Don't tell my mother.
Okay, good job I bought something today.
I know. Oh, God, thanks, Gemma.
Gemma dubbed you in it then.
Yeah.
I've come across a term that made me chuckle, and I would love to hear the mothers trying to fathom out what it means. The word...
Just say what's going on.
Go on.
The word is seagulling. Seagulling. Seagulling.
Is it Rudy? Well, yes.
A little bit, although it wasn't last time, was it?
No.
Seagulling. Seagull. It has nothing to do with a seagull, does it?
Correct.
Absolutely nothing.
Seagulling.
You do this. You just repeat the word over and over again. You have to be inventive. Come on.
Seagulling.
We can't be like that.
Gliding in some way.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be rude.
Yeah, no, but I'm glad when you start with that, you can go anywhere.
seagulling.
Think about what seagulls might do.
Well, they poo, well, don't they?
Oh, right, okay.
They have sphinxter.
I don't know what.
Sphinxter.
Sphinxter.
Sphinxter. A finkster.
Finkster.
A spinkster.
Sphinxter.
They have nothing
do
to do
a
with
sphinxter?
That. Yeah, a sphinxter.
A sphinxter. No! Oh my God, I'm saying it. A sphinxter.
It is a finkster. A sphinxter.
So what do they do?
Well, they don't. They do a lot of that, don't they? Yes. They don't have one. They're like pigeons.
Or any bird, right, for that matter.
Or any bird, really, yeah. But anyway, it's nothing to do with the seagull, you said.
No, but what were you, actually, were you describing from the seagull?
That it was pooing. So it's something to do, they're not, somebody's not doing that and parcelling up and sending it off to someone, because we've had that, haven't we?
Actually quite a good
That's what you do for the doctors, isn't it?
I've done that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's get a vet to send it for you.
Yeah. It's not that. Nothing to do with that either. So I really am.
I don't know what else there is.
Describe perhaps what seagull poo might look like.
It's white, spermy. Yeah. Spermy.
Right.
Yellow, right.
Okay,
spermy,
then.
Right, spermy. Yeah. That's what it's like.
Right, go on. So go from there.
Yeah.
Seagulling.
So what is seagulling?
It's spermy. If somebody's doing something to somebody and it's letting them, and then it goes, they get spermed.
But what's happening with.
God, it's so difficult.
What do you think's happening? Come on, Agnes.
We can't think about things like
yes,
that.
Yes, you can.
You did last week.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you were disgusting last week.
Dirty pair.
What was it last week?
Oh, dear. You've slept since then, haven't you? It's all right. Never mind. Concentrate on this.
Right. Well, go on. Over to you.
What kind of thing? Any one about white shit coming down on top of you?
like dogs in the 70s.
I can't think about anything but white shit coming out on top of you.
What?
It's sperming.
Oh, God.
It sperms, isn't it? It sperms.
Yeah. You keep saying that, but you're not getting any further with it.
Has it got to cover somebody or something?
Everybody. No. A couple.
I think we should pass on that one. I think we should give that as a yes.
So you mean give it to
give
them?
Give it not pass on it.
Not, well, like pass, like a tick. Like
yeah,
a
yeah
pass.
I see. Oh, so it only means that they've got it right.
I mean, that's basic. It.
I'd say so,
what
yeah.
Is it?
The definition of seagulling. When a man comes in his hands, then runs up to someone, slaps them in the face with the salty hand and shouts, seagulls!
Of course!
Yeah. Don't you two be getting any ideas, you
Thank
and Glenn.
Thank you, Gemma, brilliant.
Thank you, Gemma, fantastic.
There we go, word to you, mothers. Thank you very much, Gemma
Thank
Smith
you.
In Staffordshire. There we go.
Keep them coming in, people. Yes. Hello at anytimepodcast.com. That's hello at anytimepodcast.com.
Hello at anytimepodcast.com.
The mothers kind of got it right this week, but will they get it right next week?
To wait and see, won't we? Now it's time for a game of What's That Noise?
What's that noise? What's that noise? What's that noise? What's that noise? What's that noise? What's that noise? Tell us the answers, girls and boys.
So, Alan Thompson in Western Supermare goes first. He says, hi guys, me and my better half, Susan, are long-time listeners, first-time emailers, also avid puzzle solvers, and we reckon we have got your mystery sound worked out.
Go on,
is it
then.
Something? Is it someone setting up a mouse trap? Let's listen to the noise. Doesn't match with the clues you were saying last week, does it?
You've fixed up a few mouse traps in your life, haven't you?
Yeah, but you never let me put them up.
Do you know?
On your flat.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I can see actually where they're getting that from.
Yes, it's quite a springy noise, isn't it?
Noisy, springy thing. And you've got many springy
things. I have got many, many springy things.
Yeah, okay. It's not the right answer, though, on this occasion.
Sorry, but keep emailing us in. What is it, Agnes?
Hello.
Hello there.
I'm going.
Come on.
Say it.
Go on, girl.
Hello.
At.
Any time.
You could have heard the noise of her teeth.
Oh my God.
Clickety clickety
clickety. Hello. Hello at anytimepodcast.com.
Well
Yay!
Done. Donna Wilson. Donna Wilson in Ayrshire says, I've been doing my best to catch up on all your podcasts, so I hope I've not missed someone guessing the correct answer on what's that sound or what's that noise. Is it the sound of the game of jaws being used in that bit of the lower part of the shark's mouth that uses an elastic band to snap shut?
That's very clever.
It is very clever, but it's wrong.
It's not right.
Sorry,
no.
Donna. And Lauren Woodhouse in Nottingham says, greetings, cheesy ballers. The mystery noise has had us all scratching our heads for ages, but I think I know the answer. Is it the sound of a deck chair spring when you open or close the deck chair?
Oh, do you know what? Everyone's going on the sort of
metallic
spring thing,
noise. Metallic spring. Yeah, it does involve a metallic spring. You're quite
but
right,
it's
but it's
not
that.
No, sorry.
Keep the emails coming in. Once again, it is go to hello.
Hello, any time.
At hello at
anytimepodcast.com.
And in all the excitement of Agnes that. Getting that right occasionally.
Oh my god.
Hey. I can hear a car coming up the driveway.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I love this part.
The adventures of Mr. Popoli.
Last week we left you with a mysterious dead body under Miss Tarpley's overgrown chlamydia bush. But who is it? I hear you cry.
Who is it?
But who is it?
Who is it?
I've no fecking idea. Let's hope our sharper than a Boy Scout whittling knife detective Miss Tarpley and her surgically challenged husband Dr. Driscoll can find out. We join them where we left them, under Miss Tarpley's big overgrown pungent bush.
I do believe, my dear, that this man has been dead for quite some time. Maybe he was dumped here whilst we were enjoying our coach trip to Rill and back again.
I think you're quite right, my lover. I know I embarrass you with that phrase. He does look familiar, though. His face looks rather boiled and blue. Where have I seen him before?
Check his clothes for ID. We may be in luck. Not there. Well, all right, to the left a bit.
Yes.
Perfect. Now there's more room in his pocket.
Yes. You're not just a pretty face with a tight pair of knicky-knacky noodles.
Now's not the time, my love. I know dead bodies do something to you, but you really must keep control of yourself.
Sorry, my dear. Down, boy. I've got it. I think I know who the blighter is.
Who?
Why do I keep hearing strange voices shouting out? Very odd. I think I need to give myself another lobotomy. The dead body is none other than...
I know what you mean. I keep hearing suspenseful music. How odd. Anyhow, who is this smelly old...
Corpse! It's none other than David Dickinson!
Dun, dun, dun!
Oh, my! Someone has killed him and planted the body on us! My love, we've been... famed!
I feel at this moment in time that we have no other option but to make a run for it.
Both of you, freeze! Drop the secateurs and hands off the truss. Put your hands above your heads and turn towards us slowly. Put your knees together and your legs astride. Put your left leg in and left leg out. Now, both of you, in, out, and if you can, shake it all about. Madam, your trust seems to be coming away.
Oh my goodness, so our heroes have been framed for murder. Join us next week as we find out what happens to our fearless crime-fighting duo as they try to clear their names of the pungent, big bush 1970s clematis murder!
Yay!
Oh,
I hope they get out of it.
Yes,
oh,
me
they
too.
Will.
Oh, they definitely
will.
Do it. Who would... You see, David Dickinson was obviously murdered on his boat.
That's right.
And then very quickly, the body is taken. Somebody must have known where they lived, Miss Toppin and Dr. Driscoll. That's scary.
Yeah, but what you've got to remember is... Does anyone care?
I care.
No, police care.
No, not about... Obviously, Dr. Driscoll and Miss Tarpley we care about, but if David Dickinson was murdered, would anyone...
I see where you're going with this.
Would the police go... I'm asked. I don't know. I'm just saying, would the public go... I'm asked.
Agnes would.
Who knows?
She gets very upset. She loves David Dickinson.
Oh, definitely. She says with her arm up her back.
She does, yeah. What's that ringing?
What's that? A phone ringing somewhere.
Whose phone is that? Whose phone is that?
No, it's not mine.
It's mine.
Answer it.
It's Reg Corker.
Why is Reg ringing you?
His pocket dialed us. Oh my God!
Listen!
Don't these people look at themselves in the fucking mirror before they come out? I saw more of her vagina than she fucking has with a big fucking camel's clam. It is a shithole here, isn't it? Some of it is a shithole. Oh, the scouts there. There's a mank! He'll get off. I'm sensing darkness. Have I passed my test? Have I passed it? I didn't mean but she should have known a car was coming. She was riding a fucking bike on the path. Shouldn't have been. Fucking cyclists, they're on there, they're just saying, knock me the fuck over. Knock me the fuck. I'm wearing lycra, I'm too fucking fat to wear lycra, and I got a little flashy red fucking light to put you off and dazzle you. And then, oh fuck, they just run me over. Well, fuck you, she deserved to be fucking run over.
I'd like to say to you, Mr. Cocker, that unfortunately you haven't passed.
Right, fuck off and get out of my car. Fuck off, go on. Fucking nutbast. Fucking nutbast, I'm better driver than you'll ever be. You're nothing but a fucking...
Oh my god, well there we have
wow.
it. Oh my god.
Driving lesson instead.
What happened to Diddy then? Why would he be taking driving lessons?
Will he be getting rid of Diddy?
Dun dun dun!
Dun 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 for Diddy!
Dun dun Diddy!
Let's do it all together!
Dun dun Diddy!
And on that bombshell, we'll leave it there.
Yeah, until next week! Lots of love, take care of yourself, stay safe, we love you!
Bye! Yvette and Glenn!
Planning on traveling this summer? Make saving at the pump part of your plans with 2x the fuel points from Harris Teeter. It's easy. Download your eVic coupon, and for every dollar you spend with your Vic card, you'll get 2 fuel points. That's up to $1 per gallon on quality fuel at participating BP and Harris Teeter fuel centers. Download your eVic coupon today and save money at the pump all summer long with eVic and Harris Teeter fuel points.
Your favorite band's about to play a sold-out show, and you definitely got tickets. And drinks. Now hurry and make it back to your spot. Pass this person and that person. About 20 more. Ooh, watch out for feet.
Hey.
Just keep going. A little further. Oh, there's your friend.
Over here.
Right where you want to be. Close enough to see the set list. And they're definitely playing your song. When you're with Amex, it's not if it's going to happen, but when. American Express. Don't live life without it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.